always a pleasure. Can we call that an honor? Whenever you get a chance to bring a teammate on, a champion, a homeboy, a young man that I'm so proud of, and courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air company in the on the planet, we get to bring on Vernon Dean. And Coach, I know you're saying, "Damn, y'all win the championship." Yeah. And you had a hard time getting, you know, we wait till you lose one or two, lose your quarterback, then we bring you on the show. But you know that's how TV works.
Right.
So how are you doing, and how's the team doing? You've been here before. Ain't nothing in football that you have not been involved in.
Young Wesley, who's on the scenes covering the team.
So just set the stage for us.
Well, fortunately, we were able to get into the playoffs. Unfortunately, two weeks ago, we lost our quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you can say, unfortunately, we lost three games in a row. But fortunately, the team has stuck together. The team is kind of rallying around each other. The past 2 weeks, we were in position to win those games. We just needed to make a play, and we did not make it. There's no excuse. There have been some uncharacteristic mistakes that we made at critical times. Some of those were point-producing plays, led to points. Players also have to, raise their level of play, as does coaches. We have to raise our level of coaching, and we'll do that. There's no question that we'll do that, and we'll meet the task. But everybody's in a good place, in a good headspace. Yes, 2 days ago was a very tough loss because we knew what they were and who they were. And then once you know a team like that, you should anticipate having more success than we did. Hard-fought game. Second half, we played really well defensively. The first half, we gave up two explosive plays, which typically doesn't happen. But we did it, and we have to own it. We have to own it, but it's old saying, if it don't kill you, you got to learn from it. So we still got life. Let me just say that. We still got life, and we got a number of really good players on our team. Now, I will say this. We did lose some key pieces. Chris Rowland, who had a great game against us. He's playing with Orlando. Jaden Mickens, who's at Birmingham. So we lost some key players on offense. But defensively, we the nucleus of the team is still here. And we believe that we can play suffocating defense when we don't lose our discipline. And I think we lost our discipline a little bit in terms of encouraging coverage, gap assignments, so on and so forth. So that's kind of the gist of it. But we feel good about the position that we're in. We're glad that we have this opportunity to repeat as champions, because we still are champions. And we are glad we're in a position to defend that title.
Wes?
Yeah, I mean, no, that's great, Coach. And, I'm going through kind of the games, especially that first game against Houston. Defense gave up 7 points. Sam Kidd comes up with the interception to seal the win against St. Louis. Six points against Dallas. The last three games, gave up 30, 33 points, 27 points.
Right.
What are you and the team working on moving forward in Week 10? And now that you've clinched a playoff spot, what are your expectations?
Right. So things kind of go hand in hand. I think our second game against Louisville. We were put in some bastard positions. And I think defensively, for the most part, we kind of held up in the first half. Now, obviously, we did give a key. We took the opening kickoff and went down and scored. But they took the kickoff and they went down and scored. So that kind of evened things out. and played really well in the first half. In the second half, we had like I say, a couple uncharacteristic things happen on defense with certain players where they broke their discipline. Really good players, and just, you know, at times, and Doc, you know this just like I do. At times, you feel like you need to make a play, and you press, you know. But the bottom line is, in pro sports, all you got to do is do your job. Because do your job, eventually you're going to have an opportunity to make a play. Now, invariably, when you try to make a play, is usually when you screw up or break your discipline. And we had that happen a couple times. And trust me, we got some really, really, really good players. And I firmly believe that we're going to play better. You know, now, having said that, okay, so there were times last year when the offense was struggling and the defense just kind of held it down, made plays. And then there were times that the defense was struggling and the offense made plays and gave us an opportunity to get our stuff together. You know, but when we all kind of struggle, it's a little different. But like I say, we got really good players. We got really good coaches. And I have every confidence that we're gonna right the ship. We're gonna right the ship because it's not how can I say, it's not far off straight, if that makes sense.
Well, you've been there. You recognize it.
Right.
There's no panic. Right. I know you're not gonna panic. We have
had
upset
wins.
Nobody's
gonna, right. Nobody's gonna press the panic button. Now, Doc, you know me, man. I would say, Doc, look. We're not playing well. Our right. players are not playing up to their potential. I would say that, you know. And then I always tell them, and the secondary, I said, look, man, we can have a bad play, but we can't have a bad day. So right. if two people have bad plays in the secondary, that's a bad day for the secondary. It's a bad play, you know. And then sometimes, you know, you as a coach, you know, you think players understand the game like you understand it, you know, and not necessarily schematics, you know, because schematics are schematics, but you don't want players to be robots. You want players to go out there and have a feel for the game and just play and just play. And then, you know, there also is formation recognition, play recognition, pattern recognition, and all that stuff go into it. And as a coach, you try to teach that or share that. But some of that stuff is just innate. It just, you know, you just have it or you don't have it. And we have some players that truly understand, and you can tell by their play. And then we also might have a player or two that's kind of hesitant. You know, he see it, but he don't want to believe it. You know, and somebody said a long time ago as a DB, hey, man, when you see it, believe it. Because you got to believe it, because you believe it, you'll see it. You know, and so those are types of things that, you know, you try to share with these young men to hopefully get them back to where they want to go. And their ultimate goal is to go back to the NFL.
And you see that, and Wes and I were discussing this, because you've been on both sides.
Right.
Do you see that we're building, is there a bridge that is going to be firm enough to this could actually be reality?
Oh, 100%. I mean, we have so one of our offensive linemen, he was with us last year. He was actually with us for a couple of years. excuse me. he's in the NFL. We have another offensive lineman was actually with the New England Patriots, but he got injured, and then they wanted him to actually come play for us, you know, to see if he can stay healthy for the entire year. You know, so unfortunately for him, he re-injured his knee, and we're hoping that he'll be fine. But yeah, no doubt there is a reality that can happen. I think last year, and I don't know the numbers, but it was more players last year to get NFL trials that actually went to NFL camps. You know, since 2023, once we started this league back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely seems like I like the rule modifications that have happened, no punting on the field goal, the whole nine yards.
Right.
I can see things that are going to bleed into it. It just makes sense.
No doubt. No
and,
doubt.
Wes, what
no
have
doubt.
You seen?
From the rules, Doc?
Yeah, just the fact that you've seen both. You've evolved with both regularly. I do see that this thing morphing into more than it is now.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the way that the four-point kicks, the way they've implemented it, that has extremely helped the defenders because of Matt McCrane. And, Coach, I'm sure you – I mean, he's been a huge factor in this team, you know, in the losing streak, in the winning streak, and just getting yourself back in the playoff. I mean, he's someone that I could work could wear burgundy and gold someday.
Well, I know last year he went to the Detroit Lions camp. Now, they got a really good kicker as well. And if I'm not mistaken, he came from the XFL. I believe he was he was the Michigan team. So, but Matt McCrane, he's we call him Matty Ice. He does have ice in his veins. And he's been fortunate to make two of those long kicks for us. And both of them actually helped us. But there have been other times that he made, you know, kicks that helped us. So, I mean, like I said, he's a weapon to have. and he's a guy. And you know, he might have aged himself out of the NFL. I'm not sure. But that could be a possibility. But if someone needs a kicker, like you know how it happens during the year, man, a kicker can you know, once – you know, the one thing we always say about kickers, lead them alone. You know what I'm saying? Don't nobody mess with a kicker and mess with their psyche because they can go left or right. Some of them can miss a kick, and now they're going to miss five straight. And, you know, in the NFL, you know, you miss five straight kicks. You know, you're probably going to find yourself out of the league, and they're going to bring somebody else in. So, fortunate for us, Matt has been he's been that guy. He does a really, really good job. Now, just to talk about rules and stuff, rules modification, I mean, obviously the NFL adopted our kickoff. You know, they adopted that. You know, and you never know, man. You never know, man. Those people in those rules committee and the owners can get in there and say, you know what? I'd like to see if we can make a 65-yard kick. Let's make that 4 points. You know what I'm saying? Versus a 60-yard. See, with us, it's a 60-yard, it's 4 points. But, you know, and there have been a kid, if I'm not mistaken, a kid from the Cowboys made a 65-yard kick. So you never know. You never know.
One guy flying around the field, and I got to watch him when I was little, Gerrion Conley. He won a national championship at Ohio State. Leading the team in interceptions with two, got 29 tackles. Who is he as a leader in this DB room?
Right. So 2 years ago, Gerrion was with us. Gerrion lives in my community in Houston. You know, and I get a chance to talk to him, you know, all the time because not only is he's a good player, but he's a really good person. So, you know, I kind of have a relationship with him, and he trains some kids, and I go out there with him and kind of talk to the kids or whatever. But he had a rod in his leg because he got injured, and that's why he wasn't in the NFL. And he had, you know, the rod was kind of damaging his nerves, and he had some issues. So when he was with us 2 years ago, you know, he was playing through tremendous pain, you know. So I had great admiration for that. Well, he got the rod taken out of his leg shortly after that season, and then the pain just kind of went away, but he kind of wanted to make sure, and the pain was actually gone. So he's been back, and he's been a model. If you didn't know him the way he worked, you wouldn't know. He was a first-round draft pick, but you would see his play and say, wow, this guy really belongs in the NFL. Now, having said that, after the season that he had with us, he signed with the Cowboys.
Yep.
You know, he actually signed with the Cowboys, and they really loved him, but the pain was so severe with that rod in his leg that, you know, he just walked away. They didn't cut him, and they asked him, are you sure you want to do this? And he was like, yeah. Because I'm not going to be – ultimately, I'm going to get cut anyway if I keep feeling like this because I'm not going to be able to practice. Right. So he has not missed one snap in the game. He has, you know, obviously in the beginning when you get guys, you get new guys because most of them come from the NFL and their hope is to go back. And the only way that they can go back is for them to get film, you know, and then that's the right thing to do. But as this thing grows and each game becomes more important, You got to play the guys you know that are gonna go out there and they're gonna play. You got to play your best players. So Garyon has not missed a snap in practice. He likes taking his reps. He practices every play in practice like he's playing in the game, every play. So when you talk about leadership, he leads by example. You know, now when he speaks, everybody listen because you know everybody calls him an old head. You know, because when he speaks, everybody listens. You know, but his speak is how can I say, his words are in the way he prepares. You know, he's a pro's pro, and you can tell why he was the first round draft pick. But yeah. I also got DeAndre Baker that's playing in the secondary, different type of player, very cerebral. Very smart, knows the game. He knows the plays before it's supposed to happen. And schematically, what we do, he know why we're doing it, which that always makes a player play faster and play better, you know. So he's kind of a, how can I say, a playmaker, so to speak, you know. But you're right about Sam Kidd. You know, Sam Kidd is a guy who who fortunately Ron Springs called me about Sam Kidd. He called me and was like, "V, you got
Blue." No, he's into the game. Sean Springs he's a gym rat.
Oh yeah. So he called me and was like, "V, you got to take a look at this guy." And I looked at him. I called and said, "Dude, why is this dude not playing in the NFL?" Well, he said, "Man, he had two shoulder surgeries." So that answered it. So we signed him. 3 years ago, and came in first week of camp, dislocated his elbow. So the next year we brought him back, man, and he has pleasantly been a pleasant surprise. He's probably he's definitely one of our better players, and he's probably the best free safety one of the best safeties in this league.
And he's also a local product. He went to James Madison High School, rival high school, the school I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And
Reston, Virginia.
Yep, and then went to JMU for college ball. I mean, right. He's been he's got a lot of people showing up to these games just to watch him.
Right. Well, one game he got 75 tickets. And I said, "Hey, man, I can't name 75 people right now." And he said, "Man, well, I can name 30." But it's the others that I don't know. It's different. I said, okay. So after the game, I wanted to see if he had 75 people at one game.
And he did.
Yeah. But you know, in the NFL, you can't afford 75. Well, back when we played, Doc, if the ticket prices were what they are today, it ain't no way we could afford 75 tickets.
You ain't lying.
Well, Coach.
And them kids, but one thing we did have, we had them kids in the lot, and the lot was available for young kids.
Jason,
we never see that again, but that's what made Lot 7 special.
Right. And the beauty of it is, all the extra tickets we were giving the guys. Because, hey, you know, used to be in that lot, right? When they were a little kid. Michael Lossie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Lossie.
I had him at 12.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
Yeah, I had Yeah, man. So that was a very special. You think you're important, and that proves that you are when you affect kids in a neighborhood.
Right. No
As
doubt.
You well know,
no
that's doubt. What it's all about, and having access.
Yep.
I don't expect a new stadium that will have that kind of egress, but let me just say that that's how we were in touch with D.C.
Right.
We were not afraid of the District of Columbia.
Right. No doubt.
You know, we frequented it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the difference.
Right. I know, and you hear about it. And I don't know how true it is. Some guys used to say, "Hey man, you know, heck, I remember taking the Metro to a game." Well, I never done it, you know, I probably never would do it. But I do know this. I remember one year I'm driving to the stadium, and I normally would follow Mel because Mel Kaufman and I live together. I follow Monty to the stadium. Right. But this time they were gone. I had to get to the stadium myself. And you know, once you get around them circles in D.C., you get lost and screwed up. So I got lost and screwed up, man. I just went over and asked a police officer and told him who I was.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, "Man, just follow me," and took me right to the stadium. You know, so you know that, and that's when you talk about community. You know, and that's what, you know, back then, you know, we did have access to every community.
Yeah, young fella, Wes would have went wild. He would have enjoyed it. Yeah. Look, man, know you are busy doing what you got to do. We will be in touch. Wes is on the ground with you. And I've been telling Wes to go up and tap you. I said, "Look, man, he won't bite."
I'll see him on Sunday. Oftentimes when I get to the stadium, Doc, you know, it's kind of, you know, I do my ritual. I go outside, check on the grass for the cats going and say, "Hey, man, look, you go check the grass yourself." You know, I mean, I can tell you it's short, whatever, you know, but, you know, I see guys and talk to them. I got a chance to speak to Doug a couple weeks ago. Because he came out and did the coin toss when they announced that they were going to have the United Bowl in D.C. I got a chance to talk to him. So, and it's other people that you and I both know in common that I get a chance to speak to them. But it's brief. "Hey, how you doing? Now I got to go now." I do next weekend, another one of your California boys is going to be in town. He's coming to the game. Eric Yarber.
Yarbs.
Right. So Yarbs coming to town and he's coming to the game along with Eric Henderson, the D-line coach for the Commanders.
They're really good friends
of mine, and so they're going to be there. Also, Raven is going to be with them. So, you know, I get a chance to probably ask some cats, man, before and after the game, or maybe grab dinner with them the day before the game. I got a chance to do that with Brian Carpenter a couple weeks ago when we went to Monty's services. Wes, don't fret, man. If you want to talk, you got a question to ask, and I would never talk about skiing. I would only tell you that a player is good if he's good. But I never talk bad about anybody because, you know, that's the minute that somebody bites your head off when you talk bad about it. They could be the worst player all year, but keep that to yourself.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
No, Wes is a pro, man. He's
okay.
You guys, it'll be a good link, and we enjoy covering it. We enjoy talking about it, and of course with you.
Okay.
So we won't hold you anymore. Okay. We'll talk to you next week. And stay healthy, my friend.
Thanks, Coach.
It, man. You too, man. Much love, Doc. We'll catch up with you.
Love for you, homeboy. That is Vernon Dean. Coach Thompson would say, old number 32 is simply one of the best. Quick break. That was a long one. We apologize. We'll be right back. In response to DWB, say he needed to get somewhere where he can barbecue. Can't do it here, not even on the common property. No grills, give me pork and beef ribs. Chicken marinated, brush with the best barbecue sauce. Corn on the cob and homemade coleslaw, potato salad. Good, baked beans. I feel you, D. That is it. UNCDK says he's bringing deviled eggs and mac and cheese in today. People getting it done. You know, I just wanted Kyle Busch, God rest his soul, we finally did get the cause, a form of pneumonia that took him out. I don't know if I've heard of a person from others that were around him, colleagues, friends alike, that has spoken in higher esteem. He sounds like Vince Lombardi. And how people, man, he wasn't playing. He had a level. He lived by a standard, and everybody knew it. I've been really impressed just learning more and more about Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
It's really been
the whole situation. Yeah, yeah, it's.
But the closure, easier, obviously, knowing what happened. I guess some advanced form of pneumonia that put him in the septic and took him out. But I mean, just listen to the drivers and people talk about him. It's definitely how, if you've earned it, how you want to be spoken of in reverence. This guy was, I mean, highly honorable and intense, and won on every venue, all three major, you know, venues. This guy's a champion, and he drove himself hard and expected a lot of others. I've been real impressed. Real impressed. And that's how you want it to be, man. That your best work is done by treating people the right way. That is the key. It's tragic because he was so in. He was like in. If there is a prime, he was in a groove that just couldn't be broken. 137 in the nation's capital here on Sports Sunday. 106.7 The Fan. 1-800-636-1067. Take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll just continue. Don't forget, Nats are going for broke. We're going for another victory in Atlanta, and we'll be all over it. Stay with us. Young Wesley, I know that you're not a stranger around the bullpen. Where's your interest meter go when it comes to college baseball championship series?
Oh, I've been watching it. I was watching some of the Big Ten tournament the other day and the
ACC.
You know, I don't have any more friends in Tech that play. They all graduated, but watched them a little bit. You know, they're not as good as they were when I was a freshman. But, yeah, it's fun to watch. You know, I got to fortunately play at that level for a while, and so it's fun to watch. And then seeing some of the guys I play with now in the minor leagues and in the major leagues now.
Do you have any teammates that are in the bigs? In the bigs?
Yeah, I used to Bryce Eldridge, plays for the Giants. Uh-huh. Used to play with him, work out with him. Used to work out with Nick Morbido, who just got called up for the Mets. He made his debut in D.C., and then a couple guys in the minors right now, A's, Cubs.
Yeah.
It's all around.
That's got to be a charge.
Yeah, it's good to see them be successful, you know, playing the kids' game, you know.
Because of how we cover college football, we kind of know a lot more about the football and the basketball athletes. Baseball's different. There's more of a separation that we don't get as close to. And that's why I think your intel is so important, because there is a lot more distance between the baseball, softball athletes as opposed to football D1 and basketball D1 participants. Big difference.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I know the tournaments are going on right now. The championship for the ACC is Georgia Tech and North Carolina. Both those teams, powerhouses in baseball, they'll be in the tournament, possibly making it to the College World Series. I mean, it's a long way to go until the College World Series, but I always watch it, you know, with my buddies who I played with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. What part of the game do you miss most?
That's a good question. Like, are you talking about on the field or just everything around it?
Yeah, just the whole the game. I mean, people who play, participate, who cover, I mean, there's a different, they're different worlds, but you straddle both. It's not that common. A lot of people in the industry were fans of games, but very few were participants.
Yeah, I think playing outfield. I was an infielder for a while, and, you know, I had always enjoyed playing outfield, and I ended up being really good at it, got offers because of just my outfield ability. So probably that. Yeah, I enjoyed just the practices and getting better in that part of the field. I enjoyed, you know, sometimes it can, and then everyone might enjoy every part of practice, but for some reason, every part of getting better as an outfielder, I enjoyed.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of fun getting pop-ups as opposed to having line balls, line drives hit to hit the infielder.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some dangerous, it's a dangerous occupation. You know, a guy with a fungal bat and a Popeye and arm forearms like Popeye, you know, hitting to you. I've seen some of that stuff be crazy. Yeah, outfield's good. You got to feel for it. It's a depth perception thing, and you got to have the gun to match it.
Yeah, fortunately, that was a strong suit for me. I played right field for my high school and also travel ball teams where we would go out and play, you know, in front of college scouts and stuff like that. So, yeah, I enjoyed it for sure. Hitting, I enjoyed. At the end of my career, I ended up trying to hit more home runs, which I ended up with, you know, would strike out more, you know, which is kind of thing that happens these days.
Normal.
Yeah. And then I also pitched. Pitching, I ended up getting hurt a lot. I tore my UCL, the Tommy John ligament, which ended up just derailing my career. So then I had to kind of call it quits after that.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, all jokes aside, baseball, you got arm problems. It's tough. Been there, done that. It's a lot of young people and athletes and aspiring athletes that have injuries deprive them from advancing or attempting to live out a dream is more common than you would think. I think a lot of our listeners can relate to the story. Because the only reason they're listening and not playing is because of an injury. Or some circumstance that took them out of where they wanted to go. I mean, why else would you sit here and listen to this and talk and listen to people talk about this? Because everybody loves competing. They love the adrenaline kick to it. And you don't have to play to be a pro. Very few people have. That's why I love talk when we get to talk youth sport. We don't do a hell of a lot of it. But it's always my favorite topic. And I was listening to Take Command today with Grant and the Bruin. And talking about the development of players. Now, they're at the pro level. But because the Bruin coaches high school football, and he says some things that I totally believe, and I've heard it at every level. I was lucky enough to be able to coach at high school level. You got to always remind yourself that you're a teacher. You're not playing the Rams for the Super Bowl next week. You're helping young people develop and learn the game, learn how to be a competitive athlete, and perfect your craft. Not everybody gets to do it until they're adults, but most of us got a chance to do it at that Little League, Pop Warner, youth basketball, junior hockey, whatever it was, that level. That's the common thread we share.
For sure. Like the competitive nature is definitely,
yeah.
I mean, that it's like the military for kids.
Yeah.
You become regimented. Yeah. You go out there and that you want to win. and that's the only thing on your
mind.
Well,
you make something more important than yourself. Well, you learn how to share.
Yeah.
You learn how to share in the dugout, in the clubhouse, chow line. You know, it's I've told the story forever. It's the incentive, you know, whether that was for me, Jim McCulley, and the coaches saying we're going to, if we win, we go to McDonald's. Bingo.
Yeah.
You know, incentive that could have been like being able to drive a Ferrari. I mean, when you're 11, it is. you're 9, you're 10. And somebody tells you they're going to take you to go somewhere and get a, what? And all I got to do is just not make an error or get a hit or hit a home run or whatever. That's what you start striving for. And that's why I love it when, you know, during this time of the year, playoff people are positioning themselves. And now we're talking about I'm watching lacrosse. Didn't get to play lacrosse, but you did, didn't you? Thought you had a lacrosse
experience. I did not.
Experience. You did not. Yeah, I didn't either. Looks cool.
I played baseball, basketball, and football were the three sports, and then baseball
yeah.
was
Yeah, well, what's the one sport that you didn't get to play that you wish you had of?
I actually had drawn interest in playing hockey. I'm not the...
Can you skate?
Yes. Not
okay.
I mean, not the way that obviously these pros can, and not a figure skater. But if I can put on skates and just when I the first time I skated, I just put on skates and somehow was able to go out there.
Blades, not rollers.
Yeah, blades.
Blades.
Yes.
Hey, I'm laughing, but I'm giving you major props.
Yeah.
But just try, if you see me with some blades on, know somebody's pointing a gun at me. Wow. I can't wait to hear more about this. It is 1:52 here in the nation's capital, Sports Sunday. DOC, Wesley, stick with us. We'll be back. Closing in, top of the hour. John Booty, one of my favorites, highly competitive. You're going to find very few pros that make it to the NFL and play in the secondary that aren't loaded with talent. We'll kick off 2 o'clock with JB. Of course, he's got that Eagle pedigree, and so we can have some fun as we size up the opener for the 2026 Commanders. We'll be right back. Stay with us.